So I got an idea for this rewrite because when I think of Con Air, I can't help but also think of Face Off because it came out like same year.
I think of cheap household goods and appliances, like irons and
Okay,
hair
blow dryer,
dryers
yeah.
and crimpers, curlers,
All
things like
right, I mean
that.
maybe this is where we take it then, you
Okay.
know?
So what's your pitch now?
So Caster Troy is out of the criminal game.
Okay.
And he goes to the army, and he gets out and he murders two people, right? Just like the movie Con Air starts, but it's Caster Troy with all of his baggage and his backstory. So he's no stranger to prison. Like, he knows the ropes of the prison. I feel like that adds a whole dimension to like his understanding of the criminal mind. So he could really get in there, and we could even take this in like a psychological thriller direction, you know, where he's like the detective on the plane, like trying to figure these criminals out and figure a way out of it instead of just running to the cockpit and punching out the pilot.
I thought you were going to say that Caster should be recast as Cyrus. So you'd have
Oh
Nick Cage
shit.
being the villain and the
Versus Nick
hero.
Cage.
Yeah, Cage
Oh,
versus
that's so much
Cage.
better.
Cage versus Cage.
All right.
Or you have him with his face swapped, Travolta. So you put Travolta on there, but you're supposed to understand he's Nick Cage. So like
Okay.
just to go to your purest essence of your idea though, are we saying that Caster Troy went through the experience of Face Off, then joined the army? Or is this like earlier? Is this his
Yeah.
origin story?
No, he went through all of Face Off. I mean, he dies in Face
I
Off,
wasn't
right?
sure.
So
As that was my next question, is like it feels like the type of movie that he probably did, but
but let's say that Sean Archer couldn't be swapped back in
okay.
for whatever
Shit, you
reason,
even know their
right?
characters'
Because
names.
at the end, like Nicolas Cage, well,
He
John Travolta carves up Nicolas Cage's face,
right.
or vice versa,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
And so he
yeah.
carves up John Travolta's face, which means John Travolta can't get his body back because they have a tech to swap faces, but not to repair faces. So he just decides, look, instead of being in this fucked up face
He'd
body,
rather keep Nicolas
yeah.
Cage than have a scarred up
I mean, he spent
Travolta.
how long in it? Like a week in that body? He's probably getting used to it by
I
now.
mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at the Kelly's Blue Book value of a like. I
Right.
think a Travolta face is more handsome than a Cage face.
Okay.
But like, if you
Yeah.
put a dent in it,
But I think maybe the Travolta body is not quite as good at that stage as the Cage body.
interesting.
So I feel like,
As a
you
man
know.
who possesses at his best a Travolta body, I'm not sure how I take that.
10 years ago, I had a Cage body.
Like when I'm in my best shape, I'm kind of think of Travolta getting hosed off in the backyard, and that's what it looks like.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Pulp Fiction Travolta had a better body than Face Off Travolta, right? It was only 2 years difference, but I feel like Travolta body in Face Off really went to shit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was a downslide towards Swordfish, where I thought he like started bloating.
I'm trying to think of all the roles I've seen. I can't think of any roles where I've seen him with his shirt off after like Pulp Fiction. Does he have his shirt off and sword? We're getting way off the subject. Anyway, so
So yeah, he's stuck in Caster Troy's body, but I guess it would be Sean Archer, right? So Sean Archer goes to prison. Maybe he doesn't beat up, he just gets caught.
Well,
And they think, oh shit, because everybody who was connected to him was dead at the end, right?
yeah.
And knew that he had swapped bodies.
There's a couple of things that you could do. I kind of like the idea of because the one thing I said during the live watch is I feel like that and during the podcast is Nick Cage should have been an anti-hero. He should have been like a Frank Castle type that police would plausibly want to capture and lump in with the villains, even though from an audience perspective, maybe he's sympathetic or you agree with the people that he's killing or whatever. I think it'd be interesting to have to just go ahead and do that and have Poe be kind of have a mean streak to him where like if things are going his way and he's with his wife and kids, he's fine. But he's also a little kill happy.
Well, that's good because they talk about, you know, the man he used to be, right? At the beginning of the movie, and oh, I thought I saw that guy for a while, and he's like, yeah, sorry.
Maybe that guy's
He
his
needs to be
back.
that guy, right?
Yeah.
He needs to be that guy in that airplane because these guys are so much worse.
So you take Nick Cage and you throw. So it's really Cage versus Cage. You got he is you're what shit? Who's the Cusack? Cusack's out. Cage is in as Sean Archer,
Okay.
And he is the guy that's working for the FBI, or no, the U.S. Marshals. Do you remember what...
Cusack is a marshal, yeah.
What's Sean Archer? Is he FBI, U.S. Marshal?
I can't remember.
Might be a... So he's... U.S. Marshals capture fugitives, and I'm trying to think if Castor Troy was, like, at large, or he was a fugitive, or if he was... You know,
they caught him, and then they had to find out where the bombs were. So, like, that's when Sean Archer goes undercover to try and trick his brother.
Right in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't know what law enforcement agency he was with.
I feel like we're doing the classic bald move thing where we're trying to make a better movie, but we're also doing something fundamentally serious. So, I don't know. Maybe Poe should just still be Poe. Because the other thing you could argue is that this... Sean Archer's experience just kind of fundamentally broke his mind. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, he actually has a psychological thing where he thinks he's Castor Troy, and then you just get rid of John Malkovich's character and you have Castor Troy and you also have Poe. Do they acknowledge that they look the same?
Maybe they... I'm trying to actually tie, like, being John Malkovich in now, because we have characters with the same faces.
Yeah,
and it's even funnier that it's not John Malkovich, but...
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe
so
they...
So, it's Nicolas Cage as John Travolta mind-tunneled in to John Malkovich.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so it really nothing changes on screen, right?
No. Can we work an adaptation in here, too, or...?
Sure. Charlie Kaufman will write the whole thing, and the entire time this will be like the story of him writing Con Air while Con Air is happening.
Right.
And so the first half will like a struggle to write it.
I want to make this real story about this incredible flight of conflicts, but I don't want it to have any Hollywood trappings. There's no sex,
no action,
there's no violence,
no explosions.
It's just a New Yorker, just a facts kind of take on this thing.
Right. Nothing happens.
I don't
know where that gets you. That gets you like Charlie Kaufman struggling to write his book, Con Air. And then the last half, like, when does it turn? When does Charlie Kaufman... When does the movie turn to the crazy Con Air stuff that has to happen at the end?
What was the abandoned airfield called?
Was it Lerner?
Yeah, that's where it happens. Lerner somehow. All like that's him being taken out in the swamp and you know, his brother died. That's the where it pivots. His brother's got to die. He drowns in the tanker truck at the end.
So what has happened up to this point in the movie? Because in the real Con Air, like, the criminals have taken over the plane.
Yeah.
They've killed a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. They've imprisoned guards. We've got this diabetes scare.
Mm-hmm.
In Charlie Kaufman's, presumably none of that would have happened yet, right? He'd be trying to write nothing. And this beautiful story about, like, cons.
Yeah, like, so
air.
What is the actual story of Con Air that he's trying to adapt?
He's trying to do a serious commentary on the plight of prisoners in the judicial system.
Maybe instead
in
of physical violence, he just does emotional violence.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They just really hurt each other's feelings bad.
And so do the guards, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who are the criminals here? Who are the cons? Is it the guards? Is it the people in chains?
Yeah.
We don't really know, but in the second half, we find out.
Yeah, the guards is like, you know, refer to them all as convict, you know, dehumanize
them. Oh, it's when
Steve
Buscemi shows up.
Mm.
That's the natural turn, right? Because Steve Buscemi's character does fucking nothing in this movie. Let's turn him into
Andy Kaufman. He's
just an
into
observer. The spark.
Okay. Does he still...
That sets it all off.
Or does he still get brought in Hannibal Lecter style?
Yes, but I think he sets himself on fire as a distraction.
Sure.
And
sure.
When they're putting him out, he steals the keys and escapes.
He's constantly masturbating, and it's the friction. It's the friction that starts the fire.
Right. So his hands are like stuck to it. So he's just like he's just rubbing and grinding.
Sure,
the whole time?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What's setting him off? Like the female guard? Like, she's kind of sexy and he's like involuntary. Like, oh, I don't, you know, I don't endorse what's going on here, but it's my body and it's reacting.
So, I mean, we have to get rid of the the hacker's guy character, right?
The hacker's guy character?
Yeah, the trans or gay or whatever the fuck that character is.
Yeah, right.
Whatever they're trying to do.
Judy Can't Dance or whatever their name is.
You got to get rid of him/her,
on the grounds of good taste. Or you update that character to be... What would be least offensive? A trans man?
Okay.
Because like you have if in nowadays, like I don't see how you could have like Laverne Cox. I think that's the trans woman from Orange is the New Black. I don't think you would plausibly put her on a men's prison plane.
Right.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a commentary about like, okay, you fucking want to use just straight biology. Okay, well, here is to all intents and purposes, a woman on a plane full of hardened male convicts. That seems like a equitable way to do things. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So Steve Buscemi gets all worked up over the female guard, not that character, right?
Mm. That depends. Maybe he gets, Steve Buscemi. Okay, so Charlie Kaufman is Steve Buscemi.
Oh, Charlie Kaufman is Steve Buscemi?
Well, I thought you were saying that was the turn, that like that was going to be where Andy Kaufman inserts himself in the story.
Oh, I was saying that's where the action kicks off. That's like the New York.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were wheeling Andy Kaufman in with a big.
We can.
Sure. No, I could just go with your idea. So Carson City is where it turns.
Right. And it's all a big metaphor, right? Like, you know, Charlie Kaufman has just been masturbating in this screenplay for the first hour. His hands have been bound by the ideas that he has. And now once he's able to unleash those ideas, just all bets are off.
It's free. So we're telling the story that ain't violence or sex or action before. So like how have the cons escaped?
They haven't.
They haven't. So there's
and nothing crazy has happened yet.
Okay, the cons are just sitting there dejected and thinking, you know, some of them are looking forward to their freedom, some of them are, you know, looking forward to being transferred to maximum security, but they're just sitting contemplating.
It does make me wonder what John Cusack and Chief O'Brien are doing for the first hour of this movie.
O'Brien is just Meany is just haranguing him about the evils of recycling for an hour.
Okay.
And Cusack is just making wry, sarcastic suggestions.
I like it. Cusack's lacing up his sandals. he's maybe we get to see like a full dress scene for Cusack where he has like this nice, like modern day 2018 suit that he could put on. It's well tailored. It fits really well. Mm-hmm. And then he's got this just sack of potatoes next to it. This beige monstrosity with sandals and socks. Which one does he choose? And he sits there for 10 minutes looking in the mirror trying to choose.
The other way you could do it is have it like, you know, your generic commando action gearing up kind of scene.
Oh,
except for it's like, you know, as he...
Like the quick cuts.
Yeah. Like as double he's button and then, and you know, as he straps on the sandals, you know, it's everything's making. And it doesn't make any sense, but every move the fabric makes or as he ties his tie, it makes like a gun cocking sound.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's the sound of like a paracord gliding over Kevlar or, you know, everything is as he buttons, you know, click, clack.
I mean, that's his uniform, man.
Yeah.
He's going into battle Chief O'Brien.
Yeah.
Over the merits of recycling.
Over the merits of recycling.
Okay, so we've got the first half of this movie written.
Yep.
And I feel like the second half almost writes itself. I mean, it's Con Air ridiculousness, right?
I do think it would be kind of funny if the convicts escaped just by using emotional abuse.
Okay.
Like, they literally make the guards cry and let them out of the cage just because they hurt their feelings so bad.
Oh, yeah. Psychology. I mean, Steve Buscemi, you look at what his character is in that. He's essentially there to toss off some fucking dime store psychology, right?
Oh, you think I'm crazy? What's really crazy is guarding convicts 30,000 miles above the...
Yeah.
30,000 miles above the surface of the earth in outer space.
Maybe we can get Ed Norton on the plane, too.
How is a plane flying in outer space? It's a vacuum. How would a propeller even work? Have you thought about that? That's what's really insane. the orbital flights that they put these convicts on. No, yeah, 30,000 feet.
Spending your life keeping people in chains. That sounds insane to me.
Yeah. Working 35 years in a prison. You're going to spend more of your life in a prison than most... Most people convicted of murder are.
That's true. That's man, that damn is kind
of yeah. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's,
now that you say,
like, if you go into prison work right out of high school or college and you work there, to your like, you mm-hmm. will probably serve way more time than a rapist, for example.
Absolutely.
Or like a manslaughterer for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. That's kind of a depressing thought.
All right, that works, man. That works. He just gets in their heads with that, and yeah. they go, you know what? You're right. This whole prison thing is bullshit.
Attica.
Let's
like
do
the,
this.
Yeah, like it's yeah. It's the so world's the guards first combined guard yeah. prisoner riot.
Perfect. All right, and then the only people left to stop the thing. I mean, at that point, Nick Cage has to bring some reason to it, right? These are criminals.
The real hero of the story is the 8-year-old girl in the junkyard.
Okay.
She's the one that's going to. Take care of business.
How so?
She is trained in 3 different martial arts and is a dead. And she's spent all of her life in this junkyard.
She's a yellow belt.
Taking all of her. She's gone to a strip mall karate studio, and she's also a deadly shot.
She's in her fourth week of lessons. Got a mean karate chop.
But all these guys got is emotional abuse, and that's just like it's,
yeah,
it just
doesn't
like,
work
it,
on her.
Yeah, she's got an unshakable self confidence and belief in herself.
Brought on by 4 weeks of Taekwondo, American Taekwondo.
Okay, maybe that doesn't work. You're right. Like. Sean Archer is not going to sit there and take this lying down.
No, I mean, he's with law enforcement, right? And he doesn't spend his time in a prison, so this argument doesn't work on him.
Mm.
So he now has to face off with the guards and the cons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but, I feel like he would still be working. You know, he'd be trying to get Cusack's attention.
But this sparks a nation, just like this meme about, like, you know, the average prison guard spends more time in prison or than the average rapist. Like that catches the nation. So like every state and federal prison goes into open revolt, and they're on the news. Like the guards are like giving demands. They're like, you can catch people and bring them here, but we're not guarding them.
I mean, maybe the guards
anymore.
Just let all the prisoners out.
Yeah.
Period. Like every prisoner in the country is let out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just Con Air, but Con Air
so suddenly
is what starts it.
Suddenly, no one cares about Con Air because, like, they're prisoners that are up in the air,
okay.
But like they're accounted for.
I like this. So Cusack and O'Brien are fighting the war
yeah.
on the ground.
Yeah.
Castor Troy, no. Nicolas Cage
it.
Is fighting the war
no,
in the air.
No airport will allow them to land mm-hmm. because they've got, like, well, shit, then we got criminals and there's no place to put them because all the prisons have just emptied out.
Yeah.
So that's why they crash on the Vegas Strip, because they go from airport to airport, circle.
They just run out of fuel.
They run out of fuel and they have to crash on the Strip.
All right, I like it.
They're arrested, taken to jail for processing, and then immediately released.
By the guards who they've convinced
right, right.
shouldn't be there.
Right, right.
Perfect.
So maybe like they emergently recall all the cops to work as prison guards, but now there's no one on the street to process street-level crime?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, if you call the cops in to be guards, then who's going to catch the criminals to put them in prison?
The eight-year-old little girl. Like
she'll be the sequel for sure.
Here's the thing. She's we've talked about how like this is all emotional violence and abuse. Like she's got to be a black belt in dealing with emotionally damaged individuals, because she went head to head against a serial killer and turned him into a good person, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
A man who wouldn't wear her head as a hat.
No, no.
All right. We got to resolve this situation, though, right? We can't just have it to where. There are no more cons because they've all been released. The guards won't do anything and nothing is being done about it. There's got to be a resolution to this problem, as I perceive it anyway.
What would the resolution be if, like, there's just a wave of apathy over prison guards and they just walked off the job, let everybody. I mean, that's one of those things where you just wake up and, like, no one believed the money anymore.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's so transformative society. Like, what even happens? Cameron Poe and Sean Archer as Nicolas Cage team up and they just go prison to prison and clean things, except for they go to prison, they're empty. There's no resolving this. We just destroyed society.
No, here's what we do. We bring in Goodspeed, Stanley Goodspeed, who's a poison expert, and we have him create a certain poison that will only affect people who should be in jail.
They're in cons?
Yeah, and he goes through society releasing it into water supplies.
No, you make it air-based. That way it works.
Oh, it's air.
Yeah, the compound is called Con Air. The compound is called Con Air.
Oh, fuck, it's so good.
And so bad. Does it kill the... It can't kill the convict. That's not justice.
It paralyzes them.
So they're in a prison of their own mind. It paralyzes them in perfect suspended animation for the rest of the prison sentence.
I mean, this is perfect because it's their minds that got them released, right? The psychology that they told to these guards got them released. So now they'd be in a prison of their own mind for the sentence. They just have to lay there on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's an Old Testament punishment. Mind for a mind. Are the prison guards affected because they're?
They didn't really.
Not convicts. You don't need them anymore.
Not convicts. You don't.
If your dad sentenced to 15 years in prison, he just goes into a coma and you just wheel him into a closet and you park him there for 15 years and
feed him some puddings or Jellos or something. I don't know.
But you don't have to. They're in perfect suspended. It's like they're frozen in carbonite.
That's a really good poison.
It's a really good poison. It's like
he is Stanley Goodspeed.
He's a poison rock star, chemical weapons rock star.
Cage on cage on cage. I love
Con Air. Okay, here's a pitch, but it's for a series of sequels. We've got Con Air. We need Con Land, which is a prison train. There's like the loop that goes all through. This is kind of a little Snowpiercer, but it goes all through.
It's an Elon Musk underground.
Yeah, Hyperloop kind of thing. Yeah, but it connects all of the max prisons throughout the continental United States.
Okay.
And this thing makes a big loop transferring prisoners around, and it's Con Air, except for it's a big train. It's in a vacuum sealed tunnel.
Okay.
There's your pitch. That's enough to get green light for $50 million in 1999.
For sure. If you're Michael Bay, yeah.
And then you go Con C, and that is a converted oil tanker that's also a prison ship. This is how you transfer convicts between England or Great Britain to UK and the United States, for example. Like if you want to move Sean Connery.
Right.
You know, you put him on it and it just kind of works its way throughout the world and takes prisoners where they need it. And there again, I see now you got this. I like this sequel because it answers the other question is that I feel like this movie wanted to be Die Hard in the air, but there's not enough there. Uh-huh. Whereas these big like cargo ships or tanker ships, like that's an office building on its side, man.
Yeah.
Like you could absolutely have enough space to have a guy like Cameron Poe striking in and out of the darkness, you know, Rangers lead the way kind of style. I don't have them very fleshed out. They're just ideas.
I feel like they write themselves.
Basically you go into a pitch meeting, you go Con Land, and then they're like, oh my God.
Right.
They stroke out and give you $50 million to start some seed money.
Uh-huh.
The other thing we could do is, fix the problems of Con Air because, like, I think the Con Air.
I mean, we should talk about it. If we're in the rewriting phase, we should talk about the problems as we see them.
Yeah.
And what might be done to fix just the movie as it is.
I mean, Cameron Poe as Frank Castle, the Punisher, as a John Bernthal kind of like where he's a damaged, wounded, very aggressive and violent man. Like at one point, maybe you could believe that he was a family man, but he's murdered way too many people in the battlefield for him to go back to that easily.
Yeah. So, but I feel like that you've got to change the beginning of this movie because the reason that he goes to prison is preposterous.
Right.
Like you're going away for 7 to 10 years for self-defense.
Right. No,
because you were in the army. What the fuck?
Right, right. What happens is like the guy like eyeballed his wife, and that was enough for him to beat the death of his bear and these three guys.
And he did it inside the bar with a bunch of witnesses.
He antagonized them, and you know, maybe he was drunk and he made him out. And I know it just really scared and embarrassed his wife. This is going dark places already. But yeah, that sets him on a course to be a real asshole, but everyone else are such bigger, more violent, and less rational versions of assholes that he looks like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, it's just a Punisher. It's just a Punisher.
Especially when held up to Chief O'Brien.
In this case, I think Cyrus is fine.
Mostly, I think we need to do more to establish that he is, in fact, a criminal genius.
Yeah.
Than say he read some books in prison.
So can we let's challenge ourselves in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Can we think of a better, more plausible way for everyone to escape than was depicted in the movie?
I'm trying to think of the parts of his plan that actually work.
The Dave Chappelle setting the guy on fire.
I mean, I think it's a Hail Mary, right?
Right.
But you kind of need a Hail Mary to start this thing off.
I mean, you could have like a buddy film where it's just this joyous air flight as they're all going back to being paroled. Uh-huh. And they're just telling their stories and getting in misadventures. That's not good. That's not good either.
Oh, wow. So you need something, you need some other element on the plane that would say, hey, don't just blow this plane out of the sky.
Uh-huh. It happens to be carrying the President of the United States.
It's an experimental jet
that
cost $1 billion.
Uh-huh. It's,
these are terrible ideas. So when Buscemi takes over, mm-hmm. that's the prime opportunity for him to go Day of the Dog,
right.
Which I want to see anyway. In the rewrite of Con Air, we have to have Day of the Dog.
He just runs through the Vegas Strip saying, kill death the Whitey, and...
He convinces all the guards that they're actually the prisoners.
Your parole has been revoked. You have been hanging around felons. You have been killing people.
For destroying this prototype
you
jet.
You caused $1.5 billion. Yeah, right. Right. You put... I forgot the whole...
And killing the president on the plane,
you
apparently.
You did. You crashed the president because... Yeah. Yeah.
All
that's
right.
A big innovation for Air Force One is it's also going to be a prison transport when it's not being used by the president. He's flying
he's
around
in a sealed, a sealed compartment, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's airtight. It's con-proof. Don't worry about it.
How's the purge inspiration?
I mean, if you're talking about just wanton killing.
Wanton
killing of people.
First, you head to your nearest Chinese buffet.
It's all that MSG in there. It's just...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Those wontons will really kill
you.
Yeah,
the day the dog starts off, it's your belly gets full, and you need a nap, mm-hmm. and then you're going to be hungry, like, 45 minutes later.
And then you just never wake up.
Yeah.
Never wake up from that MSG nap.
No, Day of the Dog. It's,
ridiculous.
It's all brought down by monosodium glutamate or whatever the fuck it is.
Yep, you got it.
Sure, I pronounced that right.
You did, actually.
Did I?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. How's that happen?
Okay, I don't know that with 10 minutes we could write a better movie than they did.
It's so it's like, is that a recommendation for Con Air?
I think it might
like
be.
Like, if you can't in 15 minutes think of a better plot?
I'm going to say they probably spent more than 15 minutes on this plot.
Uh-huh.
Like 18, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think with the extra 3 minutes, we could have come up with a better one, but I don't know that I want to try.
Man, you know what? I'm starting to, I'm coming away with a little bit more love in my heart for Con Air. I think it's a terrible idea for a movie, but I understand why a person want to do it. And then it's actually hard to do better or worse.
At least I have a little sympathy for the writers, right? Like,
I mean, it's easy to do.
I understand what you're working with here.
It's easy to make it worse and dumber, but that doesn't make it like a modern The Room, you know?
Right.
Like, it's so bad, it's good.
I got to say, we're, 40 minutes into a recording here.
Mm-hmm.
They probably spent longer on the screenplay
mm-hmm.
than we have, at least the basic premise of it. Like, you don't hire whatever his fucking name is to direct this and say, or to write this. And so you have 45 minutes to come up with the
plot. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened.
Well, then they're way better at this than we are. Way better. And hats off to you. Because honestly, I'm going with the first Con Air we wrote, and it's going to be Sean Archer in a plane with some criminal poison after convincing all the guards to let everybody out.
Season of the Cage.